sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
You're back. And welcome to the show. This week we will review Clown in a Cornfield. Okay. As always, John will give us the plot in five words, or not. Give our first thoughts, or maybe just me. And then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. But make sure you're following us, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and your podcatcher of choice. Leave us a review. The offer still stands. Day 35 of... Give us 5 stars and you can write whatever you want.
Yeah, and we will smooch you too.
Yeah, electronically. I don't know. Like, not like an AI girlfriend thing, but like just, I don't know, whatever emoji...
I'll fucking dress up. I don't care.
I'm just listening. Please listen. All right. Clown in a cornfield or corn in the clown field.
I'm so disappointed. Yeah. I was like, I am so into watching corn in the clown field.
Yeah. We were off, or I think you had last week we were trying to figure out what we were going to watch, and that's what we came up with.
We landed on that, and then a little bit later, I was like, I just wrote down Corn in the Clown Field, and not to be funny or ironic, it's just like, it just came out that way.
Maybe you just wanted a lot of helpings of corn.
I just really wanted it to be like, you know, like the Mickey Mouse, like, sort of noodle, like, just black arms with the white gloves, but it's like there's no facial features, just like corn, kind of like sweating. And there's like a bunch of like clowns and like daisies that shoot water or the vegetation around it. But that's not
what I got. Damn. Like he's sweating and then he pops into popcorn. Because that's how that works, right? which
yeah. Pennywise talks about popcorn.
Right. So, John, before we do.
I'm going to try not to give this such a harsh review considering it wasn't corn in a clown.
I appreciate that. Unbiased. Disclaimer right at the top. So, but John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Clown in a Cornfield. Coming in at number 3, longest made Matt TV
sketch. Longest made Matt. Okay.
Coming in at number 2 for Clown in a Cornfield. Bunch of bozos killing.
Okay.
And coming in at number 1 for Clown in a Cornfield. Isn't corn in a clown
field. Okay. Very good. Very astute. What are your first thoughts?
This isn't corn. I'd rather enjoy this movie. I mean, I think like it was, you know, you're figuring it's very tongue in cheek.
With the name, like
a lot of the tropes are there intentionally. And I think it was fun. I thought it was pretty good. Not bad. Like for what it is, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I'll agree. I think I'm a little bit higher on it. Just based on your first thought there. Actually, really like this movie. I thought it was great.
I did too. Yeah. I thought I had like one gripe and I was like, wait, where did this person go? But also, I don't mind.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. And that. Yeah.
But I was like, I don't care.
Without spoiling it, it sets itself up for a sequel because apparently this is a trilogy of books. At least I could, from what I gather. Oh, so.
Shit. All right. I'm into
it. So I think they purposely left it very open-ended. I think, I thought it was really funny, really well directed. Definitely a sort of inspired by 90s horror movies.
It's like a campy teen movie. I really liked it.
And I felt like as much as it was trying to be Scream and I Know What You Did Last Summer, I think they more or less nailed the tone right, which a lot of movies have tried to nail this tone. And I felt like they nailed the tone enough because my only little thing with that is I think there may be too many jokes at the end of this movie.
A little bit, yeah. And then there's like also moments. There's like an entire barn house full of kids that just disappear. See, I don't know if you caught that. Just a huge group of kids that just, they're not important to the story anymore. They just disappear.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. A few die, but not at the volume that we witness at the party.
No. I mean, it's
that's a loose end.
Yeah. Ultimately, it's a not, there's something I know what you did last summer about this, right? Like you mentioned, so it is targeted.
I would say this movie's having like a lot of fun, like in terms of like,
yeah,
trying to be quippy and funny and self-referential. Like they know they're in like a horror movie type thing. And yeah. I thought those moments were really good, really worked. Very well directed.
And when you can get Will Sasso in a movie and you can tell him, hey, you don't actually have to be funny in this, he fucking nails it every time. Like he's still got something that's funny, but he's a serious character in this. It's not, you know, goofy on his end.
Yeah, and I didn't know that much about it other than Clown in the Cornfield. And I think a lot of people had been talking about it before it came out and yeah. Not much else.
I remember I was all in because Kevin Durant was in it. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, Kevin Durant is in it. But I didn't know this was... I looked up, after watching the movie, looked up the director. It was the director for Tucker and Dale vs. Evil, which another great movie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was an excellent movie. So good directing. Can't speak to the adaptation. I'm not familiar with any of these books at all. So don't know how it measures up. But I did like...
I think I picked it up once, but I realized that the title wasn't Corn in a Cornfield. It was called Clown in a
Cornfield. Just like, nah, trash. Yeah.
Predictable, you know. Like, but Corn in a Cornfield, I have no idea what's going to happen. I need to know. I'm so curious.
Yeah.
That's cinema.
Yeah. I especially liked the lead here, Katie Douglas. I thought she was pretty good, too, as Quinn. And the dad, too, I thought was really good as the...
He was fantastic.
Yeah, sort of the leads in the movie.
I really liked the hillbilly kid, quote unquote, and the sort of love interest kid also were very good. Yeah,
and I didn't know how I was gonna feel about them being kind of like YouTubers, basically. Right.
Right.
That was kind of like that can go bad really quick, but. For the most part, yeah, what they had I thought was funny. Specifically, like during the bard scene, I thought was really funny. The humor kind of lies out there. So, I would say like the biggest thing for me was once we get there's this in spoilers we got to talk about it because there's a moment around this barn scene that happens. And once it happened, I was like, oh, okay, now I'm ahead of the movie. Now I know exactly what's happening. Like I kind of figured out what the twist was, and I think it was.
Unfortunately, one person has a very different build than anybody else in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that kind of kind of ruined it for me. I was like, oh,
right, yeah.
I don't understand why, but
okay. Yeah. Once this thing happened, that kind of turns the story on its head. I was like, oh, there's not much more else to go. So the mystery of it didn't. That was the other thing. I was kind of like, okay, well, the mystery's not there. But I mean, there's still like a lot of fun to be had because I was ahead of the movie and the characters were like, it was getting revealed to them. So
is that when they run into an open road and somebody happens to wander by? And
I would say even earlier than that, the big, in my opinion, the biggest revelation in this movie, which I don't want to spoil yet, which we can talk about spoilers. That to me
let's just get into it.
But yeah, like how you mentioned, I liked all the adults here. I liked, you know, the, like you said, Kevin Durant, I thought was excellent in this.
Yeah.
Great.
Fucking great.
Will Sasso was great. Yeah.
The dad, whoever that guy was really good.
And surprisingly, I enjoyed Frendo as sort of the titular character slasher in this movie. I thought it was fine. I thought it was pretty cool. Though I would argue, like, I thought this movie would be more in, like, gorier on the, like, Terrifier side. Was not. was not. Pretty accessible stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was assuming too. No, I mean, I feel like you can also blame budget on that, maybe, because... But I guess Terrifier had like no budget whatsoever, especially that first one.
That's, I think it really invokes those 90s movies purposely. And I like that they set up the, they did a really nice job setting up. This is a really brisk like 90 minute movie, but I think they did a really cool setup where immediately they have the kids, group of kids kind of like are the, what I liked is that they're not like your atypical like troublemakers in the town, but they clearly are. And
yeah, kind of. Those,
that wouldn't be what you would expect they would look like, because they look very like contemporary and they look like they're supposed to be the popular kids, but yeah, they're the ones making all the trouble in the town. And I thought those were, and the sort of setup between like the town kind of being shitty and the teenagers want, you know, being stuck there, I thought was a cool dynamic. And I really enjoyed that the Quinn character was sort of like seduced into like their side of it and kept getting in trouble and not listening to her dad. I thought all that stuff was really well good, really well done before any of like the killings.
Especially because you don't blame her for doing that either. It's just like, who the fuck else is she going to hang out with? It's like nobody in the town.
I really liked also Rust. Was his name the character? I love that.
Yeah, he was great. Yeah, I really enjoyed him a lot. Yeah, he was fantastic.
I like that he's like this big, tall, hulking character guy or whatever, and then like he's like a hunter and he talks like in a really low voice and stuff, and he's like immediately like you're put off by him. And I love that camera shot where it's like you see her and you see like she's probably like 5'0", right? And he's like over 6 feet tall, and he's just like he framed him perfectly. And I thought that was a really cool shot.
Yeah, I thought that was great. I mean, I think they did try to do like, oh, this could be the killer, but I think they're intentionally, there's a really funny sort of like, nah, it's not him. Essentially, pretty much right away, like, nah, he's fine. He's actually not a bad guy at all. In fact, like, he warns her about like, just be careful of all the other people in the town. They're weird people.
Yeah, yeah.
I will say something that almost put me off to the movie was the cold open was a clown in a wheat field. And I'm like, what is this? Sequel? What is it? Because I was like, okay, this is supposed to be 1990 something. All right.
Yeah, I didn't get.
Start growing your corn. So I know what the movie's about.
Yeah, in retrospect, I don't think the cold open works, be honest.
No, I forgot about it immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, because there was like literally no reference to it. Again,
there's like barely a vague reference. It doesn't play into what
the whole point is.
Was.
Yeah, I like that they have this particular day of Founders Day, where I guess like this factory and this mascot, this clown mascot. I forgot what the product was that they made there, but the factory burned down. I can totally relate because
I guess the kids accidentally burned down the factory, allegedly.
And
corn syrup.
And they had Friendo the clown as their sort of mascot. And it's like the 100th anniversary. I can relate to that sort of because where I grew up, my town.
Cabbage.
Huh? Cabbage? No, we have.
That was Edinburgh, but just as a reference, Edinburgh was.
I've probably told you this before that we have something called Rodeo Day, where everybody in the town takes off because famously where I grew up, there's a rodeo that happens like all weekend. And it's like a big, big deal. And they have something called the Rodeo Day. And it's literally like we're off from school. So they took off Martin Luther King Day as a part of a day off so we could have Rodeo Day off in the same month. Rodeo Day.
But, if that's not the most Texas thing you've ever heard, yeah. Like, who cares about the black guy? We have Rodeo Day.
Yeah, it's true. We got Rodeo Day. So and there's like a parade, too, during Rodeo Day. They make different schools be a part of and stuff. So I totally related to Founders Day. So completely. I totally understand. Cool. Have you any other thoughts? Anything you disliked about the movie or could do without or?
No, not really. Cause even the things where it was like, normally I'd say like, that's dumb. That doesn't make any sense. Like I said, like a bunch of kids just disappear kind of. It didn't matter. Like it was like, you know, that's not, they do a good job of like, let's progress the story this direction and not worry about that.
Right. Yeah. And then there were a couple instances too, where I was like, wait, does that make sense? There was a scene also there to me, it's a plot hole, which we're talking spoilers. Well, I don't know if we could, I mean, it's not really that big of a deal.
I just say, let's get into spoilers just in case, and then
okay, cool. Let's go into spoilers now.
Wait! No! Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop, please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers. So there's, to me, the biggest shock is that this movie should be called Clowns in a Cornfield. Did not see that twist.
But that's too much of a reveal, I think.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's, yeah. Because in the cold open, it's just, you think it's just one clown, but it is seven.
Pretty much, yes. And that was like, oh, okay. Did not see that coming. So I was pretty excited with that twist. And this happens when they go to the barn, which is sort of an allusion to like the opening shot where a clown kills a bunch of kids in 1991. And then, so then they're having this, I guess, the same party because Cole is the son of, sort of the mayor of this town, who's also like, who runs the factory of, the corn syrup.
Yeah. Kevin Durant.
Yeah. So,
which, did you recognize that kid Cole from the Shazam movies?
I haven't seen Shazam in forever.
Yeah, it's also like you. I think I really liked the first Shazam, and then
I didn't watch the second.
Zach really was a fucking idiot, so I don't want to watch him anymore.
Yeah, and I didn't think, honestly, before all that shit came out, I didn't think the trailer looked particularly good. I wasn't excited about Helen Mirren or Lucy Liu. So
yeah. They felt, even watching the movie, they felt very forced.
Right. Yeah. So that was a very big revelation. I was like, oh, okay. And this is the point where I was like, okay, I'm a little ahead of the movie now. I know exactly what's happening. That's when I was like, oh, okay, they've set up that the kids and the adults are kind of against each other. And there's a bunch of clowns, which, oh, it's all the adults. The adults are killing the kids. Yeah. To what end? To be honest, I wasn't sure. It's like, well, to what end are they? I figured it was going to be like Will Zazzo, the teacher. I figured the waitress, all these like weird characters that we meet in the town were going to be the ones that were in the clown suits.
It's also, it got kind of ruined for me because I was watching like a list of twists that people weren't super keen on in horror movies recently. And they mentioned Clown in a Cornfield, and I immediately like clicked off of it. But then I was like, what could it have been? And then a friend at work was like, oh, what'd you think of it? I was like, I haven't finished it yet, but I'm pretty sure, is it the adults or the clowns? I mean, currently I'm only seeing one clown, but I feel like it's not going to just be one clown.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And he was like, I don't know. You gotta keep watching. And I'm like, yeah, that totally means that it's probably the adults. Which didn't ruin it for me. I thought it was still super funny and fun.
Yeah. No, yeah, same. I was just like, okay, but... It was more like just like, oh, I think I know what's going on. I'm ahead of the characters. I know where the plot's eventually going to go.
Yeah. Also, because you put all the kids in one house and none of the kids were killing each other. So
What do you think about, a little off topic, but do you like the discourse between like the trailer hiding the fact that that kid is in the classroom, that it isn't all the kids, though in the material, the poster and the trailers, it says that that all 17 kids disappeared or never could be seen again, which is a kind of a direct spoilers for Weapons if you haven't seen it, but like that's not true at all because there's one kid that survived.
I think it was, I thought it was kind of clever, only because I think it would kind of ruin things.
Some people feel betrayed by it, like by lying about the...
But I feel like you did that with Barbarian too, like you... weren't expecting any of that stuff there because they wasn't in the trailer. It's also another breakdown Easter egg is the narrator has to be one of the kids that started talking again.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Which I was like, that's clever. Yeah.
Good point. Okay. Probably one of the bigger plot. Tell me if this is the plot hole or not. And it's when Cole. They're running through the cornfield.
No, hold on. Let me stop you. I know exactly what you're going to say. It wasn't, you're so focused on the corn in a field of clowns, but there is no field of clowns. But there kind of is. And then you're like, which corn is it? And then you realize that's not the name.
You got me. tell me if this is a plot or not, because... they pretty much make it about halfway through out of the cornfield and then you make it to the road because they have to escape this massacre at the barn. They have to climb through like a sewage thing or whatever and they get off on the other side and they run through the cornfield.
Which
Yes. Right? And gets arrested.
Makes like a sort of, you think a sacrifice sort of?
He's arrested because we're not quite it's not quite clear.
No, so sorry, not coal. The hillbilly kid.
Rust makes a, yeah, like a.
Rust makes like a sacrificial, like he's going to blow something up to kill some of the clowns.
Oh, he definitely blew something.
Which also, MVP of the fucking movie, the only reason any of them survive is because Rust keeps popping
right.
up.
Yeah.
Like the hillbilly kid that likes to blow shit up is saving.
I was like, he probably does like to blow. No, I'm kidding. Yes, I very.
Which I call that.
You did. And I was like, the Backstreet Boy debts.
There you go. There's a couple of characters in here that are adding up in a different way.
Okay, so Cole gets arrested. Will's asshole takes him.
A man of the
yeah. He takes him away, right? And yet the girls decide to still go to the house with the landline. Did that make sense to you? Instead of trying to follow the cop? To me, that was a plot hole. I was like, well, why would they continue on if he got arrested? Because, I mean, yeah, they've been...
That's kind of tough. Like, I think I was probably on the main girl's side. What's her name?
Quinn, yeah.
Quinn, where I was like, why the fuck was he the only person getting arrested? But you know, obviously you kind of figure things out immediately, but I think I would have been on her side about that and probably been a little weird about following him.
Yeah.
On top of, I don't think they'd be able to catch up to that car, and I'm assuming all these clowns would know exactly where they would be.
But what was the purpose? Who were they calling then?
Her dad, maybe? I don't know.
I broke okay.
Hit five, recoup. What? I don't know, like call anybody, like some one of their parents, you know.
Tell me that, Adam, because who are they calling at that moment? I mean, I think I'm supposed to, I felt like the intention was like, oh, we're gonna call the cops, but yeah, it's the cops who were the ones who aren't on their side even before we learned that they're in on it. That's where I was like, it's kind of, it's just whatever. And then it ends up being that house ends up being a trap.
Well, call the
how FBI. How did they anticipate that?
Call the CIA. Call the National Guard.
No, yeah, you're right. I was just like, well, I mean, look, like, why would they anticipate making that specific house? Oh, fuck it. Yeah.
911, I need to talk to the president. There's clowns in my corner.
There's bubbles coming out of your head.
Yeah, because I'm just making like a thumbs up like this. It's so funny. I don't understand this. It's really funny, though.
Just random.
Yeah. So for listeners at home, I was like trying to do a gesture with my hand, making like a phone. And if you were born before 2005, you probably know what that looks like. But it made like a thumbs up thought bubble while I was doing that.
Yeah, that's funny.
I just got to mention, I bought my doggo a new mm-hmm. toy, and it was the last one there, and it was Mr. Bill, and you squeeze it, and it says,
yeah.
And I was like, hell yeah. And then I was talking to the people at front when I was buying it. They're like, oh, great. You're buying the last Mr. Bob or whatever. Like, Mr. Bob.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, yeah. Like,
you just got real defensive about it.
Nobody knows what this is. Well, I was trying not to. Like, nobody knows what this is. But, you know, like, our boss is super excited to get a bunch of them in. I'm like, yeah, because it's.
And it's your last one. Yeah.
Mr. Bill.
God.
Yeah, yeah.
The youth.
But it's funny because it says, oh, no. And it makes my dog a little anxious because it's going, and then it goes, oh, it's really funny.
Youth.
Sorry. Talking about.
Youth is wasted on the yuck.
Yeah. It's really funny because I'm also trying to show my partner who Mr. Bill is. And I'm like, you know, arguably by today's standards, this bad. But claymation stop motion like Gumby. I'm like, no. It's just a clay doll. And then they cut to a different thing and it's got a different it's just funny.
But yeah, and then we lose both the other characters here that I thought were pretty funny. Janet and Ronnie.
Yeah, the girl that couldn't shut up, like but it's like noted throughout the movie, like, I'm sorry, I can't shut up. And she's like, she probably gets stabbed. Like,
I did like that. Yeah, she gets stabbed and she's like, fuck you, Quinn. I hate you.
Yeah. Well, not even that girl, but the other girl. They kept joking that she couldn't shut up. And
that
she
that was actually super funny. And that sort of like almost Three Stooges moment where like Janet puts her hand over Ronnie and then Quinn puts her hand over Janet and then a clown just comes up and puts it over Quinn to try to take her. That was great. Yeah, yeah. Instead of just killing her. Yeah. That was super funny. And
There's like a funny moment with the dad too, because they like I think Rust blows off one of the clown's hands and another clown takes him to the doctor because Quinn's father, they just moved there, right? Like it's only been like a week or something, not even a week, like a couple of days. And he's like, fix him. And his hand is completely blown off. It's like comically like, oh, like a pow.
Yeah, exploded. Thing. Like it's gone.
And he's like, fix it. And of course, Quinn's dad tricks the main clown into like, oh, he's dying, you need to resuscitate him, do this thing. Mm-hmm. And he stabs him in the neck and with like a huge hunter's knife.
Yeah.
And says the clown's like, oh, you shouldn't have done that. And he's like, hey, well, okay, just like, you know, keep that in there and call the ambulance. And then he starts playing. I was like, no, don't do that, don't yeah. do that, you're gonna bleed out. Okay.
Yeah, I like that was funny. And then, what is it? Janet dies. She gets pitchforked in the house that they try to use the phone. They don't know how to use a rotary phone, which is super funny. Yeah,
that was super funny. That's why I brought up the Mr. Bill thing. I was like, this is
him. And I just like that she dies and she's like, oh, it's really in there. She's like, she pulls out the pitchfork and she's like.
And then Quinn's like, I'm sorry, because she
needs a weapon. Yeah. Right?
She pulls it out and stabs the other. Yeah. And then the clown falls and yeah, Janet's like, I fucking hate you, Quinn. And the clown's like, yeah,
I hate you too. Yeah. Which is great. And then we kind of near the end here, right, where Quinn doesn't know how to drive, gets into a truck and doesn't know how to drive the truck because it's a stick. Yeah. Standard. It's a standard. And earlier in the movie, her dad had bought her a car and was going to show her, but she didn't bother to learn. And she has that moment where she's like, somebody tells you to drive stick, you let them or whatever. Yeah.
Hey, you know, I'm going to go out and say right now, I can drive standard. It's not my favorite thing to do. So I will just buy.
Yeah. Out of my app. Why?
I like drinking coffee yeah. and shit while I'm driving a car. Yeah. If I want to eat a bowl of cereal, I'm going to eat a fucking bowl of cereal. I'm driving.
Exactly. But yeah, so they capture her. Instead of kill her, they capture her and they take her to where they reveal all this stuff that I think was pretty evident that Kevin Durant is sort of like the leader of all the adults that are turned into a corn.
Yeah, and they set it up like a circus, right? Like he's the ringleader, so he's not wearing a friendly costume.
He's really, really cool makeup, though. Yeah, and his performance. His sort of villainous turn performance I thought was really good.
Fucking yeah. Great. Yeah. Yeah. It's always great. Kevin Durant.
What a great choice. Yeah. He basically explains the plot here.
He's going to sacrifice right. his kid.
But he's a bad harvest or something. What did he say? Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he let his younger sister drown, but he didn't let her drown. It was an accident.
Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah. Cole recently lost somebody just like Quinn.
Because they kept mentioning that, and then it was kind of setting up that Cole is like another red herring basically for like a little bit of the
right.
He was like, where'd you come from? He was like, I was looking for you. Like, all right. I don't but by that point I was like, I don't think the kids have anything to do with that. And on top of that, I'm pretty certain what are the names? Rust and Cole fucking want each other.
Yeah, I love that moment too, where you find out.
By that point, I was like,
he's gay.
When it happened, I was like, there you go. I'm glad it actually played out instead of just like 20.
Yeah, because Quinn and him have been kind of close, like have got into a quick.
And then they weren't close.
They weren't close.
They're like, no, we don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, because Quinn.
But then like Quinn was very like, I think the actor did this intentionally too. There's something, he's like very effeminate, but like hiding it too. And then I guess he's gotten close to each of these girls because he's the most popular kid, kind of.
Also the richest.
He keeps denying their
advances. Also the richest. Huh? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
He's
which I hate. I don't want to fail to mention the other jock kid was really good too, but he dies kind of early.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The two other friends died.
Matt. And then Tucker as well, the nerdy kid of the group, I guess.
Right, yeah. It almost seems like it's set up in the beginning that Cole and Janet, the blonde, would be in a relationship. Like, she kind of quasi seems like she's jealous of Quinn, but it never plays out the way you think, which I thought was really clever. And I love that reveal that, because, like, Quinn tries to, like, make out with them and possibly even have sex with them during the party at the barn. But he kind of like rejects her, you know.
No, what does he say? He's like, hey, how about we take it slow? And she's like, yeah, I don't mind kissing more. And she's going in for another kiss. And he's like, I was thinking more like another kiss. Yeah. And she's like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly.
It was really good.
And then, yeah, we learned that Russ and Cole are in love with each other. Yeah.
Very in love with each other, yeah.
And I love that her comment, what did you say? This has been one weird night, or it's been a fucking weird night. Yeah.
And then there's like that like epilogue, and Russ and Cole show up together, and Cole is a little more effeminate now, just kind of letting himself be himself. And I like that the Cole character is still kind of like a lumbering sort of like redneck, like, oh, yeah.
And yeah, well, basically what happens here at the end, the dad comes and saves the day, and then pretty much it's the other clowns.
Well, like, no, I feel like Russ saves the day again.
Well, the dad drove the car to kill the shop owner or whatever, right? Or no, well, he...
Which saves Cole from being hung.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kevin Durant's like, I'm getting out of here. Bye, son. And then leaves and disappears. And then you don't...
Exactly.
Which I guess is setting up the next movie, but you don't, there's no post credits thing or anything. He just disappears, and he's hanging, he's like gonna die, and then that's when Russ comes out of nowhere, shoots him down, and then they embrace and make out. And then that's when Quinn's like, it's been one weird fucking night.
And I like that they eventually regroup, and it's like the dad, Quinn, and the two guys, and they get into the car, the clown car, which I thought was super funny. The sort of
bug, right? Like an old bug.
And they drive off, and I thought, oh shit, is that the end of the movie? What happened to Kevin Durant? But they do have that little epilogue where I think she goes, where's she going? College, right?
College, I think, yeah.
Which is weird because she just started high school, but I don't know what the fuck is going on there. She kind of sends her off, and then she's driving stick now, and somebody left a little clown, the little jack-in-the-box clown. Yeah, one of those friendo clowns, and she throws it out. And yeah, that's kind of it. That was the end of it. And it does kind of leave it. I'm assuming that's why we don't see Kevin Durant, because they clearly want to make the other books, which is why he doesn't die. Yeah.
By Adam Caesar.
So I don't know if this movie did well or not. So I don't know if we'll get those sequels. I haven't heard anything either as of right now, this recording. So
it feels like it was enough to get into theaters, which is interesting.
True.
I don't know.
Okay.
Also, another movie I worked on called The Knife is in theaters.
Okay.
Something I wasn't expecting when I watched it was when the art department pops up. It's like production designer Ryan Puckett, and then the art director, and then the lead, and then set dresser John Flores. I didn't realize I was only set dresser credited. There's a lot of red tape around it because it was like a union show, kind of like a tier zero, which means it was very low budget. But I thought that was funny because I wasn't expecting anything. And also another RGB native, Marcos. Remember Marcos Saavedra? He was one of the assistant
editors. Nice.
So I randomly ran into him. I'm like, I've lived here for 15 years. You've lived here for 18. This is the first time we worked on a feature together.
That's crazy. That's cool.
And that's Corn in a Clown.
Now the real review starts. Corn in a Clown film. Okay, cool. Do you have any other thoughts before we rate the movie?
No, just it's a fun ride. And for what it is, I'm going to rate this based on what I think this will be.
4.6.
Which is high.
What was the movie that I was shocked that you gave it a 6? I don't remember anymore.
Oh, and I changed the rating.
Doesn't count. You can't change it.
Fucking Bring Her Back, I think.
6.4.
2.1.
No, yeah. Anyways, I personally can't get over that. All right, John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you need. Show us your sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie. Say Corn in the Clown Field so bad. I'm gonna give Clown in a Cornfield 7.4 sexy spooky bones.
Cool. I am going to give it an 8. I really like the movie. I had a lot of fun with it. I think there are, again, maybe one too many jokes, a few plot holes. I would have liked to have seen maybe more of this town, maybe more characters, but I think it was a smart choice just to focus on the kids and then kind of like let that be who they anchor the story with, and we follow through the rest of the movie. But yeah, overall, I really liked it. I was pleasantly surprised. I thought it was going to be like a dumb slasher gore fest movie, and
100%. This is like way, way, way better than
high, to me, there's a high entertainment value, and like the movies it echoes are like 90s horror movies. So, and I think they nailed that.
It just presents itself in a weird way, right? Like the thumbnail, the poster, the title make it seem like it's going to be a real shitty, like, asylum film or something. No, it's not that at all.
Here's my other point. I would argue Clown in a Cornfield is a terrible title for this movie, right?
100%, yeah. It was fucking, that's why I thought it was going to be bad.
But, I mean, it kind of makes sense once you watch the movie why they would go with that title, because it's kind of like a fun, entertaining movie, and it's kind of like a reference to things, but... And I know it's in service to the books, right? It's what they adapted.
Right.
But man, this could have been a little bit better titled, in my opinion. Because it's hard to convey the tone they're going for.
I will also say, now that I've had time to ruminate on it, I guess, if that's a reward, sorry everybody. I can't help but think that Weapons was excellent.
I still feel, yeah, I remember we talked about revisiting it. Nothing's changed. I've read a lot of discourse online and other reviews and heard other shows, and I think I'm still mixed on it. I think,
you know, what's helping me a lot too, though, is I'm getting so many targeted, like, TikTok or Instagram, like, funny videos of people pretending to be Gladys, and I'm like, God, this movie is like, I think now that we know who Gladys is and what that character is, it's probably going to be funnier when you see people like the kid. It looks like Gladys now. Like, that's goofy as fuck. Mm-hmm.
It's not like in the dream sequences.
There's nothing scary about it. But the first time you see it, you're like, whoa, why does he look right like that? But now that you know, you're like, that's funny.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And like, I mean, again, it's like the filmmaking I thought was excellent. Yeah. I think the movie, again, I think it's just emotionally, I don't think the movie doesn't really connect with me because there's no like central character. I still feel the same way, basically, as my review.
Well, that's fair.
You know?
Because like the one person that, yeah, we talked about, the one person that would be a central character would ruin the entire plot of the movie. It would have to be a different story.
Yeah, I'm not sure
which would be the kid.
Yeah, and somebody said that like, oh, this is exactly like Magnolia. And I was like, oh, it does. It is exactly. To me, that kind of breaks the seams of the story where it's like there's so many characters and so many stories going on at once and Magnolia. And then he talked a lot about how like the police officers, I know this is, we're getting really long in the tooth here in the review, but like he says the police officer is inspired by Magnolia's John C. Reilly's character because he played a cop with a mustache. And he's kind of dumb. And it's the same kind of like in reference to it.
That's why I thought like, man, this movie is exactly like Fast Times at Ridgemont High because it's different stories.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I think I still feel the same about it. Probably have to rewatch it, you know?
Well, I'm going to re-review it again.
Not before we re-review come true. No, I'm just kidding.
It's true. Re-review.
Re-review same slot. Yeah.
David Soul.
All right. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky. We'll be right back.